a little while ago, a film crew consisting of like tribe members from a South Pacific island called Vanuatu.
Vanuatu. Yes.
How do you
Vanuatans.
Vanuatans. Now, what happened there?
Well, they were rather wonderful, the Vanuatans. They came from what used to be called the New Hebrides. Mm-hmm. And I think they're about 2,000 miles off Australia. And they'd never seen a white face. They had no spoken language, no written language. Mm-hmm. And they didn't speak a word of English. And, of course, and they didn't know about modern equipment or modern things. And so it was an amazing culture shock for them to come here and see a whole other form of living that they hadn't sort of, well, how could they dream of it, mm-hmm. which they hadn't considered or thought of. They were interested in their own survival, in shooting things with bows and arrows and in their different relationships. Mm-hmm. Why should they think of us any more than we think of the man in the moon? Mm-hmm. Anyway, they came to see this man in the moon figure, us. And it was rather wonderful. I first of all introduced them to a lot of my Northumbrian friends. And the Vanuatuans stayed in one side of the room, talked to each other. And the whites seemed to sit in another corner of the room, talk to each other. So I said to the Vanuatuans, I want to introduce you to this little tribe of white people from the area here. Mm-hmm. They can only talk to each other about bread and horses and cows. And it's very difficult for them to talk to other people.
Yeah.
And that was all translated, and they thought that was very funny. And then my white friends got rather angry, so then they crashed in and had great conversations in sort of body language, just smiling and laughing. Uh-huh. And the Vanuatuans, they didn't have clothes in their country. They wore penis scarves and grass skirts. Mm-hmm. And so these people were not that comfortable in their clothes. And we had a big dinner party, and they all wore dinner jackets, which we rented for them.
Yeah.
And after dinner, they said they wanted to dance for us. So we said, that's wonderful. And they did wonderful dances. But in order to dance, you have to take off all your clothes. And so, you know, the moment you have to perform, you take off your clothes. And next day, we took them off to Mellison, which is a wonderful house over beyond Kelso, where Lord Haddington lives. And Lord Haddington very kindly arranged for them to shoot with bows and arrows. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a cold, snowy day, but you take off your clothes to shoot with a bow and arrow. They twist off their clothes, and they shot with amazing speed with a bow and arrow. And they held the bow at a most curious angle and shot with great accuracy. And here, also, we took them out to see the wild cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather forecast said the weather was going to be really ghastly. And I said, I'm really sorry, the weather's going to be bad. And they said that Bozo, one of them, can talk to the weather if I want it to be nice weather.
Mm-hmm.
They'd change the weather. So I said, well, weather doesn't speak Vanuatuan here. And I very much doubt whether Bozo would make much difference. And we've had the forecast. He said, well, if you want nice weather, just tell Bozo, and we can have it. He said, it's not difficult. It's not easy. The weather doesn't like being told. But, you know, he can do it as a favour because he knows them well.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, fine, let's have a nice day tomorrow. And next day, blue sky, wonderful. And the translator said, it was quite difficult, he said, so don't ask Bozo to do it too many times because he has to work quite hard at it. And then I'd had a tree expert from Windsor Castle around here, and he'd seen us cutting down a tree. And the tree expert from Windsor Castle said, look here, you don't have to break up old wood. He said, let it fall into the ground, and it's very good for the ground to it fall into the ground. And the expert from Windsor Castle said, you know, the new thing is we don't cut down trees, we let them fall. The new wisdom of trees is that that enriches the ground, and mm-hmm. that's what you should do. Well, the Vanuatuans translator said that another of them, the chief, spoke to the trees. And we were cutting down this tree. And I said, well, what are the trees saying? as a joke, really.
Uh-huh.
And he listened to trees. And about 3 minutes he listened to trees. He said, what the trees are saying. He said, don't cut us down. Let us fall into the ground and be reborn into our children.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what the Windsor expert had said.
Yeah.
And I said, what else are the trees saying? He said, every now and then you plant us out in the middle of a field. Don't do that, because we like talking to each other.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he said, the trees say, have you got any more questions? And I couldn't think of any more questions to ask them. So they were wonderful, you know. They sort of told me that all that matters is to have a good mind. You don't have to know your Shakespeare and your poets, because they were looking at nature and animals with a great love and understanding. And all Shakespeare, all the poets do is express the truths about nature and about humanity in a very clear way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Macbeth, you have this horrifying situation, and Lady Macbeth, they're all typical people, and you will understand what they're thinking and saying, because they're a bit of humanity, it's a bit of nature. Poems all about daffodils or snowdrops.
Yeah.
And all these poets are doing is drawing your attention to this particular aspect of nature, which one knows very, very well indeed. Well, those guys, they live amongst it, they see it. They don't need the poet to interpret it, you know. They know the daffodils are beautiful. They think they're wonderful. They perceive human nature. So it's like a horseshoe. You go around from basic. At one extreme of the horseshoe, you have great sophistication, great understanding of poetry, great understanding of flowers, human nature, because you've done all your study. At the other end of the horseshoe, which nearly meets it, you've lived that life, you understand that life, you love that life.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking the same language, you know. And so one felt that the most important thing was decency and love and all those passions, as it were, rather than one felt that education was for the stupid, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
People who couldn't perceive with great ease and great nature. And, you know, the music of Johann Sebastian Bach and Beethoven and all that, they're just picking out sounds from the world and coordinating them into a wonderful shape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these people understand the music of their drums and of their wonderful drummers, and of their dance and of the winds and of
mm-hmm.
the animals. You know, the same thing.
Yeah.
So I thought they were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that the civilization wasn't like us taking a heavy drug. You know, I've got to get back to it, I've got to have it, you know. But I didn't think they did. I think they went back to their culture and all those disciplines of life, gently amused. I mean, they said amongst other things they were horrified that we should have poverty and hunger, and so they were taken to see people in a state of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, to them, to have a television set and a car and medication and schools was not what they understood as poverty.
Mm-hmm.
They thought these people were colossally well possessed by their standards, and they couldn't think why there wasn't content there. We can understand very well, because everything is relative.
Mm-hmm.
And pain is the thing one wants to avoid like mad. And so anyway, you know, we may have taught them lots of lessons, but they sure taught us lots of lessons as well.
Yeah. They definitely sound like fascinating people. I mean, I can't wait to see it. It's on TV soon, I know that much.
I think...
It's on tomorrow night.
Some of it's on tomorrow night,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I saw you on the advert thing.
Really?
Yeah. You were just in the gateway there showing them that little trap thing, and they couldn't understand why you wanted to catch a human. I was just like, oh my goodness, I have to watch this. Right, okay, so other than visiting the castle grounds, what can you do? I mean, there's like weddings, can you host parties?
Yes, everything. I mean, at Chilham Castle is, to me, a staggering venue. You know, we have church services here in the chapel, which we discovered, chapel was longing to be discovered. Mm-hmm. And we have weddings and funerals and horses and activities. And we have, I mean, the Mountain Rescue Service, you know, they come here and they give demonstrations here. And I love working with them. And then we have a wonderful musical ensemble, the Avison Ensemble, mm-hmm. from Newcastle. They come here, mm-hmm. and I've worked with them, and I love them dearly. And they give performances here. So we have music here, yeah. and we have drama here. And we have, I said, disabled children come and do wonderful dance and music here, which is a lovely thing to see. Yeah. And any sort of happening here, and I always think we should, and I've never done this, have Shakespeare plays here. Any other place, but Shakespeare particularly, with, say, you know, one act in the garden, one act in the courtyard, and if you read Macbeth like that, or Midsummer Night's Dream, with people wandering between, you could have a wonderful yeah. Set-up. Children lend itself to anything and everything, really, and everyone's welcome to ring up and see what gives. We also have rooms. We have rooms in the stables, which are particularly interesting from a haunting point of view of the stables. The stables, I haven't talked about stables, they are very interesting from the ghostly point of view. But you can stay there, and you can stay here. Mm-hmm. And just, it's curious, because I've got one child who's a racing driver and goes zooming around in Formula One cars at 200 miles an hour, and he brings his racing car friends here, and they're thrilled with Chillingham Castle, and they arrive in their helicopters, and isn't that wonderful? And I've got another child, a son who's a sort of professor, really, and he brings his professor friends to stay here and art friends stay here, and they're intrigued by the architecture and by the scholarship of it all, and they have a great old time. And I've got a daughter who's she's a painter, come musician, come athlete, but she's also a very dramatic painter and very dramatic musician, but she's also she's assistant editor of The Spectator, that a sort of rather right-wing magazine, but she's quite left-wing, which is rather curious. But she brings all those journalist friends here and her university friends, and they love it. So it's a terribly clever castle to be loved by everyone. I mean, you come across a girl, and some people think she's wonderful, and some people think she isn't, and some people think she's ghastly, and some people think she's wonderful. But it's an extraordinary way with Chillingham, the breadth of people who seem very happy here.
Yeah.
Which is partly to do with the ghosts and partly to do with its history.
Yeah.
Sort of unsensed things all there mm-hmm. for the sensing.
Yeah, I know. I love this place. This is my most favorite place in the whole of Northumberland. I've visited here I don't know how many times. You've done such a good job. But if any visitors that are listening want to come and visit the castle,
yes, I never know our time. We the thing is to ring up and find out. We're open sort of 6 months of the year.
Okay.
We're open 6 months of the year from sort of midday till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then by special arrangement we're open to any other times,
mm-hmm.
and so that's right, if all people want specialist tours, we arrange specialist tours, and we also have very successful ghost walks,
yeah.
which are rather wonderful, the ghost walks, and we had a Maori here the other day, and the Maoris really are into that world, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this Maori girl said that the ghosts wouldn't, they just wouldn't stop talking to her. She had to say, look, I want to go to sleep. Just leave me alone. I just can't go on talking. And she said that she went around on one of our ghost walks, and she said that the ghosts watched it. They think that's their best cabaret ever. They think it's just wonderful, our ghost walks. So that's quite funny.
Oh, no, I'm looking at going on the ghost tour. There's a one going for, like, a children's benefit.
I'm sure there is, yes, that's right.
In Northern Wimper, so I'm going to look at going on that one, definitely.
Good.
But anyways, thank you very much for your time. I know you have a busy schedule, and that was such an interesting talk with you, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck to you for your future.
Thank you.